It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
Davey has some good advice for all the coaches out there. Let's take a listen.
So, Pollock, I'm in the men's conference. TJ is giving this power testimony, and I look down and see that I get a text. And the only reason I checked my text, I thought Wojak might be telling me something about the conference.
That's good. So you were engaged, actually engaged.
Yeah, I was engaged. Maybe I was coming up next. And so I look at my phone, and it's from you. It's like David Pollock. I was like, he knows I'm in the middle of this. And it says, what size boxer briefs do you wear?
So,
and I'm like, what? That's the strangest question I've ever gotten in my life.
By the way, I'm on a plane, South Dakota. I get off, and I meet this awesome dude. He's really cool. And I talk to him back and forth, and we're talking. He's like, I love the podcast. He lives in South Dakota, by the way.
We're bringing up South Dakota again.
Yes. Okay. He said, I love the podcast. And here's what he said. He's talking to me. I love the podcast. Congratulations. He's like, hey, what size boxers do you wear? And I was like, that's not a question I've ever been asked. And I definitely don't want to be asked by another man what size boxers I wear.
Yeah.
He was like, I work at Tommy John. I was like, oh, okay. Well, this makes more sense. But, like, you can't just come out the box with what size boxers do you wear? Yeah. First of all, I had to think first. I had to ask myself. I thought there was a good chance you might be a whitey-tidy guy.
Not a whitey-tidy
No, you seem like a whitey-tidy guy. So
what?
You're offended.
Those are fighting words.
Those are
bro.
Fighting words. I like that. Like, I mean, I don't know. I could see you as a whitey-tidy guy. So
100% boxers.
Okay, but I had to ask him.
Even when I'm playing sports.
Okay, I asked him, and he told me that, and I was like, okay, that's cool. At least I know that. You asked me that question. Now I know why. But he said, listen to Family Goals. Absolutely love it. We might be a sponsor for your podcast because. Like, we love what you stand for, and you guys' podcast is amazing. How cool is that? South Dakota, dude.
Well, I was sharing with some of the guys at the men's conference. You remember this text I just got from Pollock? This is, like, afterwards. He wants to know what size boxer briefs I wear.
God.
And then I was telling him Tommy John's, and then some of the guys were like, that'd be super cool if we could get, like, if all the guys on the podcast get, like, a Tommy John's discount, like percentage off.
Hey.
So we're already doing a commercial for Tommy John's.
I'm on it. I'm working on it now.
Yeah. Jennifer would appreciate it if I got a new boxers.
New skibbies?
Because I'm kind of like old school. Like I have some boxers older than
All right, Joe. I got last question, and then we got to get rid of this. This topic needs to go away quickly. When do we throw boxers away? I love stupid questions, by the way. You've learned that by now. Like holes in it. Is holes the criteria for throwing boxers away?
For me, it's when they lose their elasticity.
Elasticity?
Yeah, when they're no longer like they're just falling off because they're the elastics.
Well, it could be because you lost weight though.
Davey, what about the socks? When do we throw socks away?
Well, I can show you right now. I have socks right here on camera that have a hole in them,
Do we throw socks away when they got holes in them?
No, absolutely not. Okay, here's when I throw socks away: if they have holes in the toes. I can't do the toes.
Man,
I'm done. That ticks me off. But boxers, by the way, holes, I'm good. No, I'm good. I have boxers that are 20 years old.
Yeah, I do too.
100. Okay, good.
But when they lose their elasticity, I don't like that when they're not like tight.
I hope we got that on camera, your wiggle right there, because that the world's going to love that. I like when they lose that elasticity.
I know you don't wash your body. Do you wash your undies? Do you wash your socks?
Of course. My wife does my laundry. Come on now.
Okay. I think this would be a great little promo. This little
absolutely
promo for Family Goals.
All right, on to the next. Let's get back to this.
We can get Tommy John.
Yeah, let's get back to the real stuff now.
Hey, one more question.
Okay,
and last one. We'll wrap it up.
Okay.
What advice would you give coaches? Like, because we have so many guys who coach their kids, like, and I'm more talking like
youth league coaches.
Youth league coaches. Yeah.
Man, this is not a short answer, but make it fun. First off, make it fun. Like, make sport what it's intended to be. Sport's going to teach them lessons, and we're all going to talk about that. We're all going to talk about the lessons and the discipline, the losing, winning, hard work, teamwork, all that stuff. That's all going to come to the forefront. But, like, that's all secondary benefits of having fun. Like, let them enjoy the mess out of it. Try to put your ego aside. Try to put your pride aside. Try to make it about the kids and their experience and what kind of experience they get. You know, talk to them about the things they can control. They can't control whether they're a great athlete, okay? They can't do that. And a lot of times that's your fault because of who you married and because of your athletic ability. So that's on you. Like, you, that's your fault. But, like, having a great attitude, being a great teammate, you know, working really hard. And listen, working really hard doesn't look the same at 15 as it does at 6. Like, they might be working hard, and they don't know a lot of things that they're supposed to know, and they don't know how to compete. But, like, the biggest way they're going to learn is screwing it up. Like, take away the fear of failure for your kids. Tell them you're going to mess up. Repeatedly tell them over and over again, like, you're going to mess this up. Like, I promise you're going to mess up. It's okay. I'm your coach. I'm going to mess up. Like, I promise. Take away the fear of failure so they can compete the best of their ability, and then they can learn those lessons. So make it fun. Take away the fear of failure. Implement the right lessons, like the stuff, the controllables that you can control. And then, you know, come beside them and help them be the best version of them. And when I say that, that's all of them, youth league coaches. That's just not the good ones. Like, the kids that aren't going to play long term, they still need this opportunity. And there still might be something that coach, whatever your name is, they're going to come back 7 years later and be like, dude, you had an impact on me, coach. You know, like, you have access as a coach into kids' lives that most people don't. And the word coach is credible. The word coach is, you're a leader. Like, coach has influence, has impact. And I would argue a lot of times more than just about anybody else in their lives. So use that for good and use that for the things that I just outlined.
What about, like, practices? Like, scheduling practices, what you do in practices?
I think, again, if you're a coach and you're looking for things to do, there's this thing called social media that you can find all the things you want on there, all the drills, all the different stuff. Like, let's not make them do drills that they're going to do in high school where I've done this for 30 years and I'm out of it. Like, when you're younger, when you play tag, that's a great form of cardio. Like, when you play tag on a football field with parameters, like, you literally are playing the game of football, kind of. Like, learning to turn, get skinny, move, dodge, avoid, learning how to come, break down, and teach them that. Like, play games. Play fun things like that. Don't do conditioning. Conditioning sucks, okay? It sucks when you get older.
Amen.
It sucks when you get younger. Like, so don't, let's not take 20.
Put them in a sauna.
Let's not do 20 minutes at the end of practice where it's just misery, because what the heck are we proving? We're proving that your practice stunk, coach, because if they're moving all throughout practice, they're getting plenty of exercise. So that's on you. Like, did you feel like you really need to condition at the end of practice and make something miserable? Like, and listen, there are different stages. Like, when you get to high school, it's a different animal. But when you're in elementary school and middle school and they're learning the games and figuring it out, like, make it fun. Don't make it conditioning. You know, it's not hard to go get ice cream and do an ice cream buffet. Like, we did that with our kids like crazy.
You let your kids get ice cream?
100%. We had Kona Ice come out to one of our practices. We had the Chick-fil-A truck come out and give out, you know, buy sandwiches and stuff like that. Like, do everything you can to make it fun, not make it miserable. You know, go through the work. Listen, I'm going to ask them to work hard. I'm going to ask them to do things for me. And if they don't do it, like, can there be punishments? Sure, there can be punishments. But I'm just saying, like, if you cultivate an atmosphere of love and they really respect you and love you, they'll run through a wall for you. If they respect and love the game, they'll work hard. Like, but it's kind of on us to, you know, start that in their lives and really take away all those negative parts of sports that's yelling and intense and crazy parents, and also lay out the outlines with parents, okay? Like, that's the number one thing that has given us success with youth league sports is I'm like, listen, your kid doesn't have play time. There's no guarantees. Okay, everything he does is going to be earned. One of the things I told all my parents is, if anything gets to me from the stands about your kids being negative, I'm going to ask you to leave the team. Like, I'm a volunteer coach. that's doing the best I can. And I'm going to love on them and do the best we can. But, like, mm-hmm. you can't be negative to your kids about sport and about art and how we're doing things and their playing time. Like, just tell them to have a great attitude. Tell them to be a great teammate. Tell them to show up. Because it doesn't matter. Like, first grade sports doesn't matter. I know this is hard for some people to hear. Second grade doesn't matter. My son's a ninth grader. He's playing JV basketball. It doesn't matter. Like, it's crazy, but the older I've gotten, I literally can say that out loud and actually believe it. Like, I don't care. I don't care how much he played in his JV game last night. I'm not losing any sleep over how much he played or didn't play. If he played the whole game, woo-wee, rock on. If he rides the pine, woo-wee, so be it. Like, but guess what I'm going to do when he gets in the car? Like, I'm going to pump up his coach. And I'm going to pump him up. Like, what he did well, not what he didn't do well, and not pointing out what he didn't do well. I'm be like, dude, I thought you hustled, man. Last night, he didn't play a ton in his game. They played a team that wasn't great. Like, he didn't play a lot. I was like, dude, I thought you played awesome. Like, I was like, I thought you really controlled your body. I thought you, like, you got your teammates involved. Like, it was really, really good. He don't want my coaching on the bad stuff and how to fix it. Like, he's got a coach for that stuff. So I think it's different at different ages, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, when your kids get to high school and they start grinding, start going through tough stuff, they need a support system. They need a shrink. They need a motivator.
They need a shrink.
They do. They need somebody that's going to be positive about their coaches all the time. So guess what? They're positive. This is mind-blowing to me that a parent can literally go, hey, my kid hates the atmosphere. Doesn't like the atmosphere, doesn't like the coach, doesn't respect the coach. And you kill the coach at the house every chance you get. And they should be doing this, they should be doing that. The system isn't this, the system isn't that. What do you think they're going to think? Like, but what if you were like, hey, man, this is awesome. You're learning. Like, you're learning how to play in a new system. You're learning new things. Like, you're learning where your teammates are. Like, the coach is positive. I love that. Like, pointing out some of the coach's mm-hmm. positive thoughts. Like, but when you point out the negatives, you create a toxic environment, and they're not going to play. Like, I have friends that their kids don't play sports because I know that the parent has talked to them so much about so much of the coaching and how negative it is, and so all they see is the negative mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, go play. You're playing a kid's game. That's really fun. Go enjoy it. I don't care how much you play.
I heard Billy Donovan in an interview the other day, and he was talking about, I never thought about this before, what he looks at in players, and he looks at what they're doing during the 95% of the time they don't have the ball. I've never thought about that, because he was talking about, and he gave all these examples, and we're talking about basketball.
Of course.
But all of these things that you
He's a basketball coach.
He's a basketball coach, for those who didn't know. all these things you can do when you don't have the ball. And he was talking about rebounding. He's talking about defense. He's talking about hustling. You know, he was talking about cutting and screening.
But what do your parents? What do the parents in the stands say?
Not
shoot. I don't get the ball. I don't get
the ball enough.
We had.
Have you ever thought about, like, 95% of the time you don't have the ball,
bro? You know what I look at when I watch the tapes of the girls and my I don't watch my son's stuff. I watch my girl's stuff. I watch the bench. I watch the bench when a girl makes a shot.
Like, are they cheering on their
dude,
teammates?
I love, if they're not jumping up and down and celebrating, and they're not, like, in the game, like, that's being a good teammate. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see a lot about, I tell them all the time, I can see a lot about how you respond to everybody else. When I take you out of a game and you come out of a game and you shrug your shoulders, like, really? Like, you should dat your girl up, you should walk to the bench, and now you should cheer on your teammates. But that's stuff that's got to be coached. The weakest move in basketball, Steph Curry said this on a video, it's the coolest thing ever. The weakest thing in basketball is sticking your hands up in the air and standing off, like, pass me the ball. That's the weakest move in basketball. Mm. Because you can do 80,000 other things. You can cut, you can screen, you can relocate, you can move, you can go get an offensive rebound, you can cut and cut back up. Like, he said that's the weakest move in basketball. And I was like, amen. And you watch him play, he runs around the whole time, right? Moves the whole time.
Anytime the Warriors are on, I'll watch it, because I just like watching him.
He's fun to watch.
He is fun to watch.
But if you think about that, like, what if I, as a parent, point out, like, hey, and by the way, like, the biggest thing I point out with Nicholas now at this stage is body language. That's the number one thing with him. Mm-hmm. I was like, buddy, if you foul and do this, like, you just told the ref he sucked and he's not doing his job. I was like, when your teammate passes you the ball and you go, if you go like this, you just told him it was a terrible pass, you suck. Like, don't throw your hands in the air. Don't react. I said, I shouldn't be able to tell whether it's a foul on you or you made a bucket. And now listen, I'm okay with celebrating. I'm okay with joy. Like, I'm okay with that. But, like, we can't show the refs up. We can't make our teammates look bad. We can't, like, stop when we get hit or something like that and do this. And just, like, the body language component of it is the biggest thing. Like, always be positive. Mm. Like, I'd always be – that's a part of being a great teammate. Like, and guess what? And, again, I got – with Nicholas, it's a harder task for me is because, you know, he's the pleaser and he wants to do everything right. I'm like, dude, you're going to miss shots. Just shoot the next one if it's the right move. That's the biggest thing. It's not like most parents are just say, shoot. Like, no, if you're open, shoot. And by the way, if we're open, we can also drive. Like, right? Yeah. Like, but I try to talk less and less about basketball and more about effort and fun and energy and teammates. And I think it definitely works well for me.
Yeah. So all good stuff. We covered a lot of topics from our faith to marriage, parenting, to health, to coaching. So one last, let's just wrap it up with this. Like, if you could say one thing to this group of guys, like,
you
one,
wrap it up.
One last thing.
I've been talking a ton.
You want me to wrap it up?
Yeah, you wrap it up with one last thing.
I think what I would say would be live for the eternal. Don't live for the temporary. Live for the things that are going to last for all eternity. And that is the Word of God and the souls of men. So anything we do in line with God's Word and anything we do with reaching people for Christ, discipling people, seeing their lives change for all eternity, that would be my challenge to the men. Live for the things that are going to last forever.
Thank you again for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay.
What's the whole point of playing sports? To win, to grow, to have fun? All these are good, but the greatest is fun. Create an environment where kids love practice. They love playing under you. Please do not burn out your kids with conditioning and crazy drills that Davey talked about. Yes, you want your players to work hard and do the hard things, but you need to build that good relationship with them first so that when the time comes, they will do anything for you. At the end of the day, the game really doesn't matter. What truly matters is their growth and their relationship with God and their relationship with others, their teammates, their coaches, their family. Let's teach our kids how to talk highly of their coaches, no matter what. Let's be positive. Parents, don't be the second coach at home or in the car or right after a game. Be the encourager. Be the supporter. Speak life into your kids. Sports come and go, but you are their parent forever. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter at Family Goals Pod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.